Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's January 30th, 2008, and this is show number 27. On today's show, we interview Willy Wonka employee and candy creator Eric Westner about his fun and unique job in the candy industry. We also talk about jelly bean jewelry, cooking with exotic flavors, the largest snowflake on record, and the first ever Kim and Jason escape event.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough, it was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can. Take me back now to the land where the people sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go away for a while.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim saying hi from Studio 315 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call and leave a message at 608-554-0803. That is our podcast line. Well, this show is all about one thing.
Candy.
That's right. We are talking candy today.
Yes. My favorite candy when I was a kid was Laffy Taffys.
Laffy Taffys. The one with the jokes?
The one with the jokes, but then I also like Tangy Taffys.
The long ones.
Yeah,
okay.
We'd always get those as a treat.
Yeah.
Sugar, huh?
Well, this reminds me of our Halloween jaunt back in October when we were speaking out in California. And probably one of the best days of 2007 for me.
How could I forget?
We were in Monterey,
yes.
And we had the day off on Halloween, and so we were shopping around, I think, on Cannery Row we were down, and
yep.
They happened to have a candy shop, and we decided to splurge and just grab a little bucket and go each of us pick out the candy that we wanted. It's kind of like grown-up trick-or-treating.
Yeah, you kind of got to pick what you wanted, and you didn't have to worry about getting that orange circus peanut or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like Jerry Seinfeld calls the doorstop of the
right.
Candy.
You know? Exactly.
But that was a good day.
Let me just say that my bucket totaled about $8, and maybe you could argue that's a little adultitis ridden, but I was pretty happy with what was in my bucket. How much did your bucket total, Jason?
About $30.
Something
yeah. Like that. Splurge.
Our
that's
goals
what that means.
Were a little different.
Well, you had to leave room in your bucket for the extra adultitis, apparently.
Oh, zing!
So, yeah, but that was good. So we're going to talk today about candy, and I guess we might as well just go start the show. Okay, it's time to start off things with the mind bender.
Okay.
Question. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with you.
The biggest snowflake ever reported measured how many inches across?
The biggest snowflake ever recorded.
Yes.
How many inches across?
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of...
This is appropriate because, you know, we have had more snowfall in Wisconsin this year. We're probably setting records left and right.
Yes.
And I'm about tired of it. But I don't think we've yet to see a snowflake this big. Do you have any guesses on...
Well, let's see. I'm kind of measuring here with my fingers. Like a...
This is great for radio.
An inch and a half?
Inch and a half. Okay.
Yeah, because that'd be pretty big.
That
when
would
you
be
think
a
of
very
a,
big... Yes,
I don't know.
That would be.
I can't even picture one being that big, but it's probably going to be notable, so I'll go with an inch and a half.
Inch and a half. Okay, well, we'll reveal the answer at the end of the show.
Okay.
Just a little friendly reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes. We have been, it's basically a monthly show, so we have come out with one once a month. And if you happen to go to iTunes and Search Escape Adulthood in the search box on the iTunes store. You'll find our podcast. And if you like the show, please maybe give us a good review. Huh? What do you think?
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. Yeah. We'd really appreciate that. In the meantime, if you have any comments, questions, feedback on the show at all, we'd love to hear it. Send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a ring at 608-554-0803.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for Palace.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
We have an article that came out last week from IT News, and it was entitled The Young and Experimental, Generation Y's Hunger for Exotic Flavors. Go ahead and share that.
Jim. Yeah, this is out of London. Dated January 21st, new research reveals more than 1 in 3 Britons under 35 are breaking tradition and opting for contemporary ingredients in the kitchen. More than 1 in 3 admit they regularly experiment with contemporary regional flavors. In contrast to young Brits' discerning palates, the study revealed the opposite for Britain's baby boomers, who prefer to stick to their tried and tested favorites rather than inject new flavors into their repertoire. A national survey showed that 42% of people aged between 18 and 24, which is Generation Y, regularly experiment when cooking Italian dishes and often opt for contemporary ingredients such as porcini mushrooms, ricotta cheese, spicy pepperoni, and red and white wine. Household staples are no longer on the dinner menu for many people under the age of 35. Exotic ingredients are proving to be more popular than ever before, enticing the younger generation to get in the kitchen and experiment with new recipes and international flavors. With a wider range of quality sauces readily available on supermarket shelves, the youth of today are setting a fine example for the older generations. Their passion for trying new things and experimenting in the kitchen has seen substantial increase in the use of contemporary regional ingredients in homes across the UK, says a person, Caldizi. Let's see, who is that? That is owner of the highly anticipated Caldizi in Campana, located in a Michelin star hotspot, Giancarlo Caldizi. He's the owner of the restaurant. So, interesting. That is kind of an interesting
phenomenon. The younger crowd is more into experimenting with some unique ingredients that aren't usually the traditional fare.
Yeah. Just looking at what are these, some of these different things that they're making. It's interesting that they have a survey on the Italian food preparation choices of these people.
Yeah. Well, it says that later in the article.
And how it ended up on IT News, I had no idea. But
I don't know. I know the interesting thing is, because I was like, okay, London, British, what's with all the Italian food? And it said that Italy is the number one travel location for people who live in that area.
Ah, okay.
So that's their big thing, is going to Italy, having the authentic fare, and then coming back and experimenting.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Does this make sense to you? Does it trend?
Yeah, I think so. Well, it reminds me of our escape plan challenge, one of them, Taste Bud Conspiracy, which is try something you've never had before. And it's kind of a neat thing to see that the younger set is a little bit more adventurous. Now, I wonder if they talk about the baby boomers. Did the baby boomers, were they more adventurous also when they were younger?
That's a good point. Does it transition into the routine of everything, you know?
Right. Is that a sign of adultitis? Now, they did talk about that there's different ingredients in supermarket shelves now.
Yep.
And you see that all across, even in America, that there's a lot more variety, a lot more of the untraditional staples that we used to. So maybe that is a factor for it too. But
yeah, but you know, like the Generation Y, what they say, it's 18 to 24 year olds. Yeah, think about when you're 18 to 24, you're just doing the grocery shopping for the first time, you got your own place, you're moved out. It's like, it is that kind of fresh take on the old traditions, I think.
I'm going to do it my own way.
Yeah. And I think we were probably even more like that a couple years ago, whereas then you kind of get in a routine and us old, you know, married couple of almost 8 years here, it's like after a while you kind of cook the same things and it's just easier to go to the things that are, you know, in the routine. And
And that's why I think that's important to keep things fresh. I mean, when we were in Arizona last, we got a chance to try some fried cactus.
Yes.
And which was really quite good. Hard to explain exactly what it tastes like.
Definitely.
I was happy
try
they took the needles out. That was a good touch.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
But I think that's important, that you've got to be able to keep things fresh. It's a good way to keep adultitis from setting in is by trying new things, experimenting, even if you're not in Generation Y.
And the simple idea is just to pick a random, you know, new fruit or vegetable and try to find a recipe for it. It's like a kumquat or something, you know? It's like, what am I going to cook with that? And then go for it.
I'm not even sure what a kumquat is.
I don't either, but it's fun to say.
Okay. Good to know.
Speaking of experimenting, we have a neat interview coming up here along those lines.
Well, we promised that we'd be talking about candy. So we were talking about food. Now we're going to continue the food theme, but go into the candy straight away. And so we've got a really cool interview here. The guy by the name of Eric Westner works for Willy Wonka. And let's just cue this baby up and get straight into it.
Eric Westner works for Nestle at the Willy Wonka Candy Factory. Now, when you think of Willy Wonka, many people think about the 1971 release of the Academy Award-nominated film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, starring Gene Wilder. The movie was based on the 1964 children's book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by British author Roald Dahl. Fans were thrilled in 2005 when the remake came out starring Johnny Depp. Eric is here today to tell us about his unique job with childhood's official currency, candy. Welcome, Eric. Thanks so much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, we got to start off right away. That was kind of a teaser bio there. So we want to ask, tell us about your job. What do you do? How did you get it? And basically, what exactly do you do?
Well, my job title is food technologist at the Willy Wonka Candy Factory. Basically, me and my department are in charge of developing all the new kinds of candy that come out of Nestle and especially the Wonka brand.
Okay.
Wow. That involves coming up with all new things, whether it be a new idea or just a variation of something that we already do.
So it's mostly like on the flavors and the not necessarily like product packaging, but the actual candy itself, what it tastes like, what it's made up of?
Yeah, everything, like when you open up a piece of candy, you open up that plastic, everything inside that plastic is something that me or one of my coworkers is responsible for.
That is cool. Now, how did you get a job like that?
Yeah, what did you go to school for?
I went to University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
And the way I found it, they give you this sheet when you're a freshman saying, here's every major we have. You know, it was a couple pages or something. And I remember looking at the list and thinking, oh, well, this food science sounds kind of interesting. But I went and did engineering instead, and about three semesters in, I decided that I didn't like engineering and switched back to food science.
Interesting.
Okay, so food science. Now, ironically, I don't know if you know that we're in Madison, Wisconsin, and we had the food science for the Babcock Hall?
Well, Babcock Hall we've been to. I'm not sure what...
that like where you would have classes in that?
That was my home away from home for 5 years.
Okay,
really?
Cool.
Okay, how fun. Well, we know exactly where you were then.
So what sorts of classes are in a food science degree?
You have basic chemistry. I mean, I went all the way up through organic chemistry, analytical, all that stuff. Some basic physics, but not any of the crazy calculus-based physics. It's more, they give you the equations so you don't have to do all the calculus-involved equations and stuff.
Okay.
But then you get more food processing, actual food chemistry classes, microbiology, things like that.
Wow. So it just kind of stuck out to you on that sheet of paper as something that sounded kind of interesting. Did you kind of picture yourself working with candy, or was it just kind of that just happened to be a job that came up?
I pictured it as I like food and I was pretty decent at chemistry, so it would be something that would probably fit something I could do. Never in a million years would I have guessed that I'd be working in candy.
Now, okay. Here's another thing. I got so many questions here about this because this is just so cool. Did you start off as a, you said you're a food technologist, candy technologist at Willy
Wonka?
I'm
a food technologist at Nestle, yeah.
Did you start out there or did you work your way up? Well, how does that career advancement work?
Well, I'm actually on my third job in 4 years now.
Okay.
I started out, I worked for a company called Carry Ingredients.
Okay.
They gave me an internship when I was at school and offered me a job out of school. So I went and I worked there for a year, making a lot of like chocolates and caramels and things like that. And really kind of got my feet wet, got in, learned how a lot of the basic ingredients and stuff work.
Okay.
And that was down in Kansas City. And then after about a year, Kansas City wasn't really growing on me like I had hoped it would. And I wanted to move closer back to the northern Midwest where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to Chicago, which is basically like the candy central hub of the country.
I
worked for a small candy company for almost 2 years, and then I found the job at Nestle.
Okay.
That's cool. Now, I'm a cartoonist, so when things go in my head, I have like weird little pictures, and I'm thinking, okay, you sit down at Nestle, and they're like, would you like to have a job as a candy maker? And you're just like, yes. You know, like what exactly does that meeting, the job interview, look like? Is it you've been doing
is
good
it
at
like
candy?
The Willy Wonka guy there? Or
is Gene Wilder there? No.
Well, the job interview itself was pretty heavy science and process-based. They ask you a lot of stuff you either learn in a class at school or that things you would know from a previous job.
Okay.
It would have been difficult if I was just coming out of school to get into this job, but working at companies that made things with sugar gave me the jumpstart I needed to be able to say, I've got candy experience, you should hire me for this position.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, how neat. And how long have you been there at Nestle?
It'll be 2 years this March.
Okay.
Okay. So going to the creative side, okay, because this is interesting for me because I have the art background. My brother Dan, he is he works in the Chicago area for a pharmaceutical company. He's this science biology guy. So it's interesting because I think your job kind of combines the science with the creativity.
Absolutely,
so
it does.
How do you come up with ideas for candy? Do you have any? This is probably the question you get asked all the time, just like people ask me, how do you come up with ideas for your comic strip? But do you have any techniques? Do you have any things that you go back to? What's your process for that?
Well, there's really three avenues that new products come about. The first one, and it's the one that happens most often, is our marketing group will come to us and say, we've done some research with focus groups, and they want this candy with these certain attributes to it. Can you make us something like this? And we go into the lab and, you know, we play at the bench for a week or two and come up with something that we interpret to be what they like, and we send it out and we get feedback and alter it until everybody is agreed that what we made is what they were asking for.
Interesting.
The second one is sometimes we have days where we don't have anything else pressing going on. We can get out into the lab and just kind of play with some of the stuff, like maybe things we had seen before but hadn't gotten a chance to really work with and see how they react, and put them together, and sometimes we get some really creative, awesome ideas out of it.
That's cool.
And then the last way we get ideas for candies is sometimes we'll have companies that sell us the ingredients for candies. They'll come in and they'll say, hey, we've got this fantastic new product that you guys can use in your candy, and whether it has an attribute where it's fizzy or it's got a certain flavor to it or whatever, we play with that and see what we can come up with based on that plus the ingredients that we would normally use.
Interesting. Now, you had said in an email when we were kind of going back and forth, and said something about the idea that your lab is basically filled with sugar and every kind of flavor imaginable.
Yeah, can you paint that picture for us of, like, if you were to walk in, you said that, you know, when you get out there and start experimenting, what do you have to work with? What's it all like?
Well, our lab looks like a very large kitchen. We've got a real big, super powerful stove and oven. We've got several large mixers like you see almost at bakeries and things.
Mm, okay.
We have a tablet press. I don't know if you guys, how much you guys have seen on the Discovery Channel or anything like that. Whether it be a candy company or a pharmaceutical company, they have these machines with a top and a bottom metal rod, and they stamp together real hard and make a tablet out of whatever you put in the middle.
Hmm.
So we can put sugar and flavor and stuff in there and make sweet tarts or things like that.
Oh, cool.
Huh. And the last piece of equipment we've got that we use quite a bit looks like a cement mixer. You put candy inside these things. They're called pans. You put candy inside, and you pour on sugar syrup, and you let it dry, and it develops a candy shell, and you can flavor it and color it and basically put a shell on whatever you could think of.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So what's your proudest creation? You've been there for 2 years now. There's got to be something that you're like, that was pretty cool.
That was very yummy.
My proudest creation actually is going to be coming out any time now. It's a jelly bean I made for the Easter holiday season.
Okay.
Huh.
It's called Nerds Jelly Beans. It's basically everything wonderful about a jelly bean, the nice, flavorful, chewy candy, combined with our Nerds products to make a very interesting and unique thing that I've never seen before.
Huh, that's cool.
Yeah. Now, the Nerds kind of are, I think of them as being kind of crunchy, and, like, how does that tie
they're
in
very
with the,
tart.
Yeah. How does that tie in with a jelly bean? Like, maybe I should just wait and see. But
the jelly beans look like they're pretty much covered in Nerds.
Ah.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
So they're very bumpy, they're crunchy, but they're chewy at the same time, and they've got that nice tart fruit flavor that Nerds is known for.
So you've actually combined the crunchiness with the chewiness then, huh?
We have.
Wow, that's pretty genius there,
yeah.
Sir.
Now, did you like Nerds growing up, or was it like, Nerds are okay? Was this
I loved Nerds growing up, but it was one of those things that we had to sneak a lot. My mom did not want us to have Nerds because it was such a concentrated sugar candy that we didn't get them that often, maybe for Halloween or something, but it was a rare treat.
Okay.
So now that I'm working with it, it's like, hey, I grew up wishing I had more of these, and now they're coming out of my ears.
That's hilarious. Remember, my brother used to get Nerds Blizzards all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. That was his favorite. That's good.
Aw, that's awesome. Very cool. So in regards to your job, what would you say is your favorite or least favorite parts of it?
Well, my favorite is definitely working out in the lab or the factory, actually. Doing the hands-on, either designing a new candy or being out in the factory, taking my product from a laboratory scale up to a full production.
Hmm.
I'm very visual, hands-on focused. So, doing things like that really captures my attention and excites me.
Okay,
that's cool.
For my least favorite, I'd have to say all the computer and paperwork stuff. I've never been one to just sit down and be patient and sit still and write down and go through emails and all that stuff. I'm kind of difficult to email sometimes, and it's issues that I've had that I've just never gotten over.
Yeah.
Do you have to deal with FDA stuff? I know my brother has to deal with a lot of paperwork and regulations. Does that factor in your job, or is that someone else's job?
That's more of a quality control thing.
Okay.
They give us a list of rules that when you make your candy, you can do this, you can do that, but do not do this because it'll be illegal and we won't be able to sell it.
Okay.
As long as we follow those rules, which once you're working in the industry, the rules kind of get embedded into your brain and you're pretty confident that what you're doing is either appropriate or you're going to have to change something.
Okay.
That's interesting. Now, what would you say would be something that most people would be surprised about if they heard about, like, the actual process of candy making? Anything that jumps out?
probably the one thing I would think is that the actual flavor of the candy is pretty much one of the things we're least concerned about when we're actually making a candy. As long as you can make the physical candy and get the shape and the texture and everything, every flavor, pretty much in all candies, comes in a little bottle. And you can call up a flavor company and say, I want a orange flavor, but I want my orange flavor to be taste like orange juice versus like a Jolly Rancher orange. And they can give you a bottle of liquid that will taste exactly the way you want them. And we have a cupboard full of probably 200 or 300 flavors that we can use at any time.
Okay. So you guys aren't actually mixing the flavors. You're more thinking about the texture and the size and shape and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The flavor is the easiest part to do because it's just a matter of grabbing the right bottle off the shelf to match. Either, let's say, I want to make a grape, so I'm going to grab a grape, or marketing would come to us and say, well, we want grape, cherry, orange, green apple. And it's just a matter of collecting the right flavors and making your candy with those flavors.
Is there a here's a question. Is there a most popular flavor that you deal with? And then is there another flavor that is on that lab shelf that never gets taken down?
I would say our more popular flavors for just about everything are strawberry and grape.
Okay.
They're easily our biggest, most popular flavors in Nerds. Okay. And I can't think of anything else offhand that we make that doesn't have at least one, if not both of those flavors included in it. As far as less popular flavors, lime hardly ever gets used. I don't think we have anything lime right now at all under our brand that I can think of, but that may change.
That's interesting.
We do mostly fruit, so that's the stuff we work with.
Okay.
And I would say the other ones that aren't used are anything real exotic, like goji berry and pomegranate, things like that, that are in the news for all the antioxidant properties and stuff.
Right.
We're just starting to work with those, but not many people are familiar with the flavor, so we could put it in something and call it, you know, crazy Oompa Loompa berry, and people would believe that it's a crazy Oompa Loompa berry.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you have Oompa Loompas working, working at the factory?
Just a matter of time before you ask that question.
Yeah.
If we did, I would probably be an Oompa Loompa.
Okay. Interesting.
I would say that's the type of position that I'm in, is I would be an Oompa.
Okay. So is that your unofficial job title then? Like, that should be on your business card, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
So, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, do you love it or hate it?
I love it, but I love the old one.
Okay.
The Gene Wilder version.
Gene Wilder. Did the Johnny Depp freak you out a little bit too much? A little bit?
It didn't freak me out, but they left out some parts. They left out, like, when Charlie and his grandpa drink the soda and it makes them float and stuff.
Okay.
They left that out, and just the little changes and stuff. I didn't think they did it as well as they could have with how technology is on some movies these days.
Yeah. The different effects that they could have done it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think it says a lot that you still like that movie, because I would think that being around candy all the time, I could see where some people would be completely burned out and just be like, whatever. Which, you know, that can happen from...
Well, and it does, too. I've almost totally lost my sweet tooth. If I'm going to snack, I want a bag of chips or pretzels or something salty.
I could see that, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because you probably have to taste all the stuff you're making to see if it's any
everything
good,
make,
right?
Everything we make, we taste. You got to make sure that what you're making isn't, you know, too sweet or too sour, or if you don't put enough or too much flavor in, you got to adjust those things as you're working.
Okay.
Do you deal mostly with, like, non-chocolate candy?
Totally with non-chocolate.
Okay.
There's an entirely different division up in Burlington, Wisconsin that does our chocolate work.
Okay,
that's interesting.
So, couple more questions.
Yeah.
This one is, you mentioned Nerds earlier. This is sort of what we like to kind of end our interviews on getting the person being interviewed to reflect on their childhood. So the first one that's obvious, what is your favorite candy of all time? Is it Nerds, or is there another one that's at the top of the list?
Oh, boy. Favorite candy of all time. Yeah, I don't know if I could say this because it might get me in trouble, but probably the Hershey Dark Bar.
Hershey Dark Bar, interesting.
Yeah, I was a big chocolate eater.
Okay.
So, yeah, well, that's okay, because that's not your division anyway. So
yeah, chocolate, it's not a competition, you know?
Yeah,
true.
We won't tell anyone.
Okay.
And then the last question we'd like to end on has to do with when you were little. What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were little? Do you remember?
I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted to work with animals. I had a dog since I was very, very young. And I wanted to work with animals and make sure animals were happy and stuff.
Okay. Do you have a pet today?
Just a real fat goldfish.
Okay.
Gets the extra candy when he comes home. So when did the passion for science sort of obviously was way back then, I would imagine, because that's a scientific field, as being a veterinarian. But that's interesting then how it all kind of developed into the biology and the food science, and then now where you are with candy and stuff. That's really cool.
It's been quite a unexpected journey, but I wouldn't change a bit of it.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, I don't know if they ever allow guests, but it would be sweet to come and visit you sometime.
Sweet.
Yeah, I know. I'm just so curious.
If we're ever able to give tours, I will definitely call you guys.
Okay, sounds good.
That would be awesome. It'd be like the perfect school field trip, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Go see all those vats of sugar and.
Yeah, we might have to bring some kids along so you don't look like idiots. But.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. This really got you've piqued our curiosity about, like we said, childhood's official currency, candy. That we joke. There's this great bit on one of Jerry Seinfeld's stand-up about candy being just like every kid's just constant thought, like
get candy. Yeah.
So yeah. To hear that you actually worked with candy was something we needed to hear about, so we appreciate you taking time with us and hope your job continues to be something that you enjoy.
Well, thank you very much. It was nice being on.
Yeah, and we'll definitely keep an eye out for those nerd jelly beans. That sounds like it might be my new favorite candy, so we'll check that out.
Very good.
All right.
Thanks,
have a
Eric.
Good night. Talk
Take
to
care.
You soon.
All right, thank you.
I think it's so cool that we can officially say we've interviewed an Oompa Loompa for our podcast.
Yep. I don't know what it says about... I could have talked to him for like an hour. I think there are more questions that I have. So many more unanswered questions.
Yeah.
But that was really cool. Not every day that you get to talk to a candy maker.
Not every day. And I do have to say, when I called his work to talk to him initially to talk about the interview, on the like phone system was like this woman, and she said, "Hello, welcome to Willy Wonka." And I was like, that's cool. I mean, he obviously has to wear like purple velvet every day.
With the big glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Johnny Depp style.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we should have asked him about that, what the corporate dress code is.
I don't know.
But that was a good interview. We hope you guys enjoyed it.
Today, one of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on Wheel of Fish.
Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing, and I get a prize.
This month's promotion, we're asking the question, what is your favorite candy of all time? So you can go ahead and send us an email or leave us a voicemail with the answer to that, and you will have a chance to win a $20 gift certificate to the Kim and Jason Lemonade Stand, where maybe you can buy some candy.
We do sell some candy on the Lemonade Stand. So favorite candy of all time.
Yep.
podcast@kimandjason.com. And what's the phone number if they call us? What's the podcast line?
608-554-0803.
Sounds good.
Welcome to kimandjason.com.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Our K&J update is very, very exciting. I can't wait
It is.
I can't wait to explain this. We are having a Kim and Jason escape event, the first of many.
Historic.
Very
groundbreaking.
Historic. The first of many. The date is Saturday, February 23rd, 2008. Mark your calendar.
What is a Kim and Jason escape event,
well,
Kimberly?
What it is we are gathering together people of all ages and sizes and races and everything. And
creeds.
Everything. You name it. All those things.
Okay.
And on this date, we are going to have a fun activity that you can do at home to help you escape adulthood. So it's kind of like the escape plan. Remember when we did that?
Where
we had all these challenges to help you think and
the
act.
The book is now available at Amazon.com.
Think and act in a more childlike way. Well, that's kind of what this is, except we're all kind of going to do it on the same day and then all kind of report back. And basically, there's going to be a neat contest involved to see.
So it's like thousands or millions or perhaps even billions
of
people doing a childlike activity all on the same day.
Exactly.
Won't that disrupt the balance of the planet Earth?
It really could, which would be cool. But we're not all doing it in the same place. You do it where you're at. So don't have to fly to Madison. Just do it wherever you're at. If you're in Timbuktu, stay there, do this activity on that date, and let us know what you did.
Do we have any listeners in Timbuktu?
I don't know.
I've never heard. If you're out there, send us an email.
We might just give you the prize because that's cool.
Yeah.
So first one.
So when is the date? Okay.
February 23rd. It's a Saturday.
February 3rd. 23rd.
Got that?
Yeah.
It's a Saturday. We figured, you know, you kind of have a little bit more time on Saturday, I hope, to be able to pull this off. And the challenge is called
Kitch Entertainment.
Kitch Entertainment. Make a childlike moment in your kitchen. It could be resurrecting an experience from your childhood or creating a brand new one.
So just any kind of childlike moment in your kitchen.
Yep. And that's very open-ended. So you can interpret that in many
different
ways.
So we may have a billion different ways to solve that.
Probably will. Most likely we will.
Okay.
So
interesting.
The contest rules, anyone can have fun with this challenge, but only Club K&J members can be eligible for the prize. So
there's a prize involved.
Yes. If you're not a member, definitely check out the show notes to see about being a member, but anyone can do it. The prize for the Club K&J members is, now this is very cool, how do you say that word?
Cuisinart.
Cuisinart. Mm-hmm. Okay. A Cuisinart ice cream maker from Williams-Sonoma, which has a value of over $100.
Nice.
And as if that wasn't enough, our very favorite, we actually own this, a copy of Ben & Jerry's homemade ice cream and dessert book. It is awesome, you guys.
If you like Ben & Jerry's ice cream, these are the secret recipes on how to make their ice cream.
Yes. And they kind of just give it to you. It seems illegal.
I swear by it. We've made quite a few different flavors.
Cherry Garcia.
Cheap ice cream maker.
Yeah.
But
it's
good.
Cuisinart or whatever it's called.
So this is it then. Anyone can do this. That's the prize. Obviously, if you're a Club K&J member, you can be eligible for the prize.
Yes.
And but anyone can do it. And here's the deal. We're going to be putting this on the blog eventually.
Yep.
So
next few
stay
weeks.
Tuned to kimandjason.com for more details.
People will be sending in their stories, pictures, hopefully even videos, and we're going to be having a vote and all that good stuff. But that'll come later to talk about how that'll all work. So,
all right, well,
check it out, and you can be eating your own ice cream with maybe you can put some of those fun chewy nerds in there, make your own nerd ice cream.
That would be good. That would be very good.
Your brother would like it.
Something tells me I'm not eligible to win.
No.
Okay.
Nice try. That is it.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Kim, what is the cool thing this month?
Our cool thing is very, very cool.
It's Candylicious.
It is Candylicious. It's Jelly Bean Jewelry. Okay, getting ready for Valentine's Day coming up. You got probably a hot date.
Easter, too.
Easter.
It's appropriate for all
candy,
occasions, really.
Really, as Eric would attest to, is candy's a 24/7, 365-day event. You know, you don't have to be
no
just
excuses necessary.
But anyway, these are earrings, necklaces, all with cute little jelly beans on them. And they're kind of neat colors, like a neat shade of pink or green or yellow, kind of all.
No, not yellow.
Oh, sorry.
Blue.
Orange.
Blue, pink.
Okay.
Green.
Okay, those colors. But the shades are very cool, so you have to check them out on our lemonade stand.
Well, and they look just like
you could eat
real
them.
Jelly beans.
I may have eaten one already.
And like a silver necklace and a silver. They're pretty cool.
And the silver is really pretty, too. I thought that was really
good
quality.
Sterling silver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're in the mood to have some childlike jewelry to accessorize your wardrobe with a bit of childhood, check it out. And it definitely would be a unique thing that I'm sure a lot of people will comment on because it's something you don't see every day.
Yeah, it's good. At the lemonade stand, we've got them, right?
Yep.
Okay, check it out. Okay, so we asked the question at the beginning of the show, the biggest snowflake ever reported, how big across was it? You said 1.5 inches, 1.5 inches.
Yes, I did. I'm pretty secure on
that. The record is, take the point out, it's actually 15 what? Inches across.
15 inches across?
Yes.
More than a foot?
Yeah, that foot is 12 inches, yes.
What? Where was this?
I have no idea. I don't have a story. Normally I have stories. So this, I don't have a story for this.
Well, maybe this was made up. Maybe the decimal point was left off. And no, I was right.
I think it's 15 inches. But I think it may have hurt someone when it came down.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's... How much did it weigh?
I don't know.
You gotta find more out about this. I'll
duly noted. Okay. So there you have it. The biggest snowflake ever reported measured 15 inches across. I would imagine if you saw one of those, your life would never be the same.
There's got to be a shadow on the ground just from it coming up, you know? Yeah. Crazy.
There we go. That's the mind bender.
What's up, Doc? Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Okay, we're going to get right into today's prescription. Meanwhile, Kim is still beside herself.
What?
With that 15-inch snowflake. Can't believe it. Today's prescription. This is our parting tip to help you take care of this adultitis. Any adultitis that has crept in since the last time we met, this is the answer. The next time you go to the grocery store, treat yourself to some candy from the checkout
aisle. Yes.
And as you enjoy your selection, think about people like Eric and all of the behind-the-scenes work it took to bring you that yummy goodness. It's a good way to appreciate the hard work that people have, and it's a great way to treat yourself to one of your favorite candies.
Maybe you can appreciate it if you buy even more, if you buy a couple more.
That's up to you. The prescription is just one.
But I think I'll appreciate it a lot.
Duly noted.
Well, that's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.